Thank you, Jessica, and thank you to our wonderful youth choir. I know many people are going to be blessed by this group behind me as they travel this week and as they represent not only us, but our Lord and our Savior. We're excited for all that they will do. As we hear the word that we have read from 1 Chronicles, we follow that this morning as we continue our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're continuing to think about being God's person, and this morning we're thinking about becoming a carefree person. So I invite you to hear these words from Jesus as he continues to teach his disciples about the importance of the life of faith. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. When I was in college, one of my philosophy professors began the very first day of class, the first day of the semester, by giving us the following assignment. He said, "I want you to write your philosophy of life in one paragraph. In one paragraph, I want you to state, what is your life all about? What is your purpose in life? What is most important to you?" This morning, after listening to these words from Jesus, I am reminded of those questions. And I would ask you to think with me this morning about what is most meaningful to you. What do you live for? What is most important? These are significant questions. They're not necessarily questions we think about on a daily or weekly, maybe even monthly basis. But sometimes when a crisis, or sometimes when a tragedy, or sometimes when a difficult patch in life comes our way, that's when maybe we begin to think about these kinds of questions. It's clear as we listen to Jesus this morning that our lives need to have a goal. Our lives need to have a purpose to give us a sense of direction. Our lives need to have an overriding priority to help us make decisions on a daily basis. Otherwise, we tend to feel empty or meaningless without a purpose. Life can feel haphazard. It can feel chaotic. One person has said, "The real tragedy today is that many people have so much to live with, but very little to live for in their lives." Maybe that's true. In our world today, we have so many things. But what do we do with all these things? What meaning do these things add to our lives? Many people today get up in the morning and They just try to do whatever they can just to make it through another day, just trying to survive. There is, one person has said, a tragedy of aimless, purposeless living in our world today. Just get through the next 24 hours. Just make it through the next couple of days. Just survive the week to get to the weekend. What kind of life is that? Jesus teaches that our life needs to have a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, a sense of direction, something that motivates us as we venture in life. So what is life's main business? What is that overriding priority that I referred to earlier? Well, Jesus says very clearly what it is in our text for this morning. As he continues teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says very clearly, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else you want in life will be added to you. Jesus teaches that God's kingdom, God's righteousness, these are to be the main priorities of life. When we seek God's kingdom, when we seek God's righteousness, when these things become the overriding priorities of our lives, then everything else we need or want in life begins to coalesce around this one central main purpose. So this morning I invite you for the next few minutes just to think with me about what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? To begin with, Jesus is very clear. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, we need to do away with something in our lives. Worry. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, then we need to think about what are the things that we worry about in life and do whatever we can to hand those things over to God. If we are to seek God's kingdom, worry is only a distraction. Now, we hear that and we may say, yeah, right, well, don't worry. That's one of those things we always say, but we don't really do. But Jesus is clear. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about the things that you so often have preoccupying your mind. In summary, Jesus says, look at your life. And in general, you probably worry about many things, but maybe three kinds of categories come to mind. You worry about your food. You worry about your health. You worry about your clothes. In other words, your life revolves around things. You generally tend to worry about things, Jesus says. If you want to seek the kingdom of God, change your focus, Jesus says. Don't make the things of life the preoccupying focus of your mind. Jesus continues, he says, consider the birds of the air. They don't worry, but God takes care of them. Think about the flowers of the field. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow, but the creator of the universe cares for them. God is involved in our lives. God is involved in the things of our world. God is involved in the things that preoccupy us. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying if God is involved in life to the point where God takes care of the birds and God takes care of the flowers that are in the field, then how much more will God care for you and for me? Every time you see the birds of the air around you, every time you see the flowers of the field, be mindful. God loves you. God cares about you. God is actively involved in your life. And if that is the case, Jesus says, then really, what is there to worry about? Jesus knew his followers well. He knows us well. We all worry. We all find ourselves worrying about so many things in life. But Jesus says, when you think about the creator of the universe taking care of you, even in ways that far exceed how he cares for the birds and the flowers of the field, then what is there really to worry about? See, that was the message from what we read in 1 Chronicles earlier. The message is everything we see and everything we know is in the hands of God. This entire creation is cared for and loved for by God. And God is actively involved in all the good that is taking place in this world and everything that is happening. And if that is the case, Jesus says, God will take care of you. If that is the case, don't worry. It's a convincing argument from Jesus. But the good news is he doesn't even stop there. That would be enough to say, don't worry, God cares for the universe, he cares for you. But he doesn't even stop there. He goes on to make another very salient point, and that is, if you do worry, think about it, Jesus says. How does that worry help you? If you find yourself worrying, just pause and think, what good is this worry doing for my life? Jesus says, can any of us add 1 hour to our life by worrying? Extrapolate on that. Can we add anything to our life by worrying? If we tend to worry, if we preoccupy our mind with these concerns, what will the good be that comes from our worry? Jesus says, realize this, worry is emptiness. Worry is fruitless. I read this week, one person said, I have never seen a gravestone that reads, this person died of worry. But he goes on to say this, but some of them ought to read that way. How many illnesses are directly connected to our worries, to our anxieties, to trying to take the responsibility of what is designed for God into our own hands. He says, if you can't handle it, then why are you trying to handle it? If you can't change it, then why are you trying to change it? Worry accomplishes absolutely nothing. Corrie ten Boom once said on one occasion, she said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. That's powerful. Worry does not change the sorrows of tomorrow, it saps the energy and the strength of today. The only thing worry accomplishes in any of our lives is simply wasting the valuable gift of life God has given us. Jesus said, if you want to seek the kingdom of God, work on removing worry from your life. He goes on and he says, realize this as well. Realize that most of the things you worry about are not the things of heaven. They are things of the earth. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, you are a child of God, and because you are a child of God, you are not like other people who do not know God. Their focus is not the same as yours. You do not need to seek the same things they seek. You do not need to worry about the same things they worry about, for your focus is different. It's almost as if Jesus was saying to us, look at the rest of the world. They need to worry because their focus is on the wrong things, Jesus is implying. But you are not seeking the same things they are seeking. These things are not as important to you. Don't worry about the same things the world focuses on because that is not your focus. It is not your priority. Jesus says, God knows what you need. God knows what is happening in your life. So we believe in God, Jesus says. We believe that God not only has the power to create this universe and the power to redeem it through Jesus Christ, but also has the knowledge about what we need in this world. Your focus is different from those who do not know God. Jesus also reminds us that life is so much more important than what we eat or the things we have or the clothes that we wear. As Jesus said these words, I can almost hear him saying, your life is in God's hands. Each day you live a life that God has given to you. So isn't it enough? Isn't it enough every day to say, this is God's day. I am alive this day because of the grace of God. What a wonderful gift God has given to me. How different would our lives be if every day we had that thought? When I was in seminary, one of our professors, Dr. Wayne Dahoney, was my preaching professor. He was a great professor, a wonderful preacher, but a better Christian and human being. But at least once a week, he said, I want you to say with me what I say every day. He said, every day, when I get out of bed and as soon as my feet hit the floor, every day, he said, before I stand up, I say, yip, 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 it's a beautiful day. Once a week at least, he would make our entire class say that. I always felt so silly. But you know what? Every time I said it, it put a smile on my face. Every time I said it, it refocused my mind. Every time I thought about that, every time I think about him, life is a gift. Every day is a day God has given to me. What a wonderful, precious thing that I should not waste. Jesus sums it up by saying, life's main business then is to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. If we do that, then everything else we want or need in life will come to us. And Jesus says, therefore, there is no need to worry. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you remind us of how much you love us and how much you care for us. And you remind us of the precious gift of life you've given to each one of us. Help us each and every day to be mindful of your love and your goodness and grace, and to live seeking your kingdom. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.